This is SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.
Listening to Catholic Weekend, episode number 249 for the week ending Saturday, the 29th of November, 2014. This week's episode, sponsored by Brian Mozizek and Project Blue November.
Hi, and welcome to Catholic Weekend number 249. It's great to be here. I'm Maria Johnson, and I am back in the saddle again with this mess. So, hi, everybody. And let me introduce my fellow train-wrecked people, my whatever-you-are people. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Maria. I like being your, quote, whatever-people.
Oh, and a good old Steve Nelson out somewhere in somewhere.
Yeah. I'm in Oklahoma still.
Still in Oklahoma.
Yeah. So, hi, everybody. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for being professional. This is the holiday weekend edition of Catholic Weekend, which means that I don't think any of us are really focused on what we're doing. I'm certainly low on sleep in the United States. We just celebrated Thanksgiving, and I have a house full of visiting family. All my kitties are here with all their plus ones, and we've had a great couple of days, and the party continues without me while I'm here with you partying.
We'll have a different kind of
a little bit of a frustration with it.
some resentment, maybe a little bit of resentment. Yeah.
No, actually, it's football. It's rival weekend, right? Is that what it is?
Oh yeah, lots of big games.
Oh yeah. So two of my kids went to Tech, and today's the big Georgia Tech game here. So that's at noon. So I'm looking at the clock here. It's 10:41. We need to speed it up, guys. Talk fast. Double time.
Wait, what time does it start?
I think it's at noon.
Oh, yeah, okay. That's fine. I got to decorate my Christmas tree.
We did that. We went hunting for a Christmas tree with them. That's cute. So what did you guys do for Thanksgiving?
Well, my sister and I, we spent the day out at the assisted living center where my aunt is. They threw a really nice traditional Thanksgiving dinner. I got in a little bit of trouble out there, though.
Oh, nice. We always like to hear Steve in trouble.
Well, I mean, I sort of made one of the workers there a little bit miffed at me because so I walk up to the buffet line, right? You have to serve yourself. What's the first thing on the buffet line?
Don't tell me the desserts.
The gravy. The gravy was the very first thing. You pick up your plate, and then there's the gravy.
No, I guess it's...
Way down at the other end is the dressing and the turkey.
No, but what you're supposed to do, Steve, is you're supposed to put the gravy just on the bottom of your plate, and then you just put everything on top of the gravy.
You see, that's a theory, but that's not the way it's supposed to work.
Isn't that the way they do it in the fine dining restaurants where you, the whole presentation of the plate? Forget that.
I want slops of gravy on top.
You guys are stretching. All I said was, like, wouldn't it be a little easier if the gravy were at the other end? Oh, and you thought that I had insulted her mother or something.
Oh.
Anyway.
I bet you were maybe like the 10th person on the staff that had told her that.
It could be.
Well, that's just wrong. So do you smother the gravy on top of everything on the plate, or just are you very particular about what you do?
Well, I'm not one of those people who gets upset if food touches. It doesn't bother me at all. But I put gravy on the potatoes, and I put gravy on the stuffing, and I put gravy on the turkey. And that's it.
Is that how it works?
That's about right. Yeah, that's how I did it, too. So, yeah.
So how do you do the cranberry sauce? Don't you put that on the turkey?
I didn't use any.
I put it next to the turkey. I don't put it on top of the turkey. I put it next to the turkey.
Oh. Hmm. I don't think I've ever had a traditional Thanksgiving meal. We roasted a pig.
Okay, well, yeah, that's what, you know, whatever.
We did have sweet potatoes. We had sweet potatoes. That was, I think, the only traditional thing that was on there.
Well, you know, a lot of people have ham for Thanksgiving instead of turkey.
We had ham and turkey and mashed potatoes and mashed sweet potatoes.
Yum. I love the mashed sweet potatoes. That's what I made.
Yeah,
what do you put in them?
I don't know. We went out to eat.
Oh, that's the best, right?
The new traditional Thanksgiving dinner.
Make other people work for you. I like that.
Well, I mean, there's only four of us in my immediate family, and it just is easier that way. Otherwise, my mom just cooks and cooks and cooks. We eat in 15 minutes, and she's been cooking for 3 days.
Oh, man,
Then neither my brother or I live at home, and then my mom and dad are stuck with all of these leftovers, so it's so much easier just to go out to eat. So
you don't wrap it up and take it with you?
Yeah, we do. They have leftovers at home at their house.
I think the best day is the day after for the leftovers. Everything tastes better.
Yeah, except we went out for lunch yesterday and out for dinner, so...
Oh, nice.
I had sushi for lunch and spaghetti for dinner, so, you know, it's great.
It's great. It's good stuff.
It was a food world tour, American food on Thursday.
An international tour. Oh, my gosh. Well, we were expecting family from Miami to come up, and my brother-in-law got pneumonia. He was in the hospital on Wednesday. And my sister was like, I'm sorry. Tuesday he was in the hospital. My sister was like, oh, I'm sorry. And I'm like, okay, whatever, no problem. So it was just our kids here and their boyfriend, girlfriend / people. And so it's been... No, I like them.
Boyfriend, girlfriend /
people, whatever, the plus ones. So my daughters helped. Actually, my oldest daughter and her boyfriend came in on Thursday at noon, so we had dinner, and it worked out really nicely for my son and his girlfriend, who ate with her folks for lunch. So then they came over for dinner, and it was nice. It's just, I like it. I like quiet, simple. You know, it wasn't 3 days of cooking for me. I bought a pie. I didn't bake it. And my middle daughter, Christy, loves baking. So Friday they had Friendsgiving with their friends. And so they all took off and went to her apartment, and they had Friendsgiving there Friday. So it was just me and John yesterday. Yeah. But it was nice. So everybody's back in today for football Saturday, because we've got the Georgia Tech game. And then, I don't know, some important Florida game is on. Florida State is somehow important, too. I don't know. I just know I had to have football food. So I'll be cooking for all of these people in the, you know, well, I should say putting Friday's store-bought football snacks in the oven for them.
Well, that's fine. Notre Dame plays USC today, which is really the most important game on television, so...
Oh, is that the important one?
Yeah, it's on at 3:30 on Fox. See you guys all there. Thanks.
Oh, there you go. I think that's when Florida plays Florida State.
Oh, well, if you want to come over to my house, Maria, you can come over here.
You want to know what I did yesterday?
What?
Yes.
Well, I totally ignored the whole Black Friday thing. I feel like that thing is so over the top.
You know,
it's like it's the total manipulation of society to go out and spend money. But anyway, so I did landlord duty yesterday. I had to fix a leaky faucet at my house, my rent house, and did some trimming of the hedges and everything, and I'm so sore today. But it meant I got to go to the big box hardware store and get to wander around looking for things to fix the faucet with, which is... It was great.
Which meant that you were on people watching adventures, right?
Oh my gosh, yes. But, okay, I will say this: the people that go to a big box hardware store on Black Friday are pretty unique. You know, it's like, you know, they're looking for the Black Friday sale on toilets, you know, and things like that.
Okay, well,
wow.
I bought socks yesterday. Some people buy toilets. That's totally fine.
Is that a thing to buy a toilet in bulk or something?
I don't know. I just saw a guy go by with a cart with four toilets on it.
What?
Wow, that competes with your iPhones.
Yeah. Buy three toilets, get one free.
Yeah. But, you know, so to fix the
full of it.
To fix the faucet, you know, it's simple. You take off a couple of screws, you pull out the stem that needs to be replaced, you put the new one in, right? It's not that simple. You have to buy a tool.
Oh.
Of course there's a tool. There's always a tool you have to buy that you're going to use one time. Except this one looks like you could do trepanning with it. You know what that
is? God.
Really? It looks like you could drill holes in somebody's head with this thing.
Oh, jeez.
We have hit an all-time low on Catholic Weekend. How to trade, how to change a faucet. Is that what it is?
And trepanning. Hey, I'm interested.
Okay. Listen, I have had such severe headaches that I would be very interested in some trepanning.
Oh, No, I think you better leave that to Dr. Paul. I don't think I should try that.
No. I mean, you could always call Hannibal Lecter, Maria.
Oh,
more than that.
Did you guys ever watch Dexter?
Oh yeah.
My Vicky's boyfriend dressed up like Dexter and a victim for Halloween.
Oh, that's funny.
And they were leaving this morning, and he was wearing the Henley, the kill suit.
Oh yeah.
What are you wearing, son?
I have work to do.
That's terrible.
We braved them all yesterday because my mom wanted the new iPhone, so we got her the new iPhone because I got the new iPhone this week, and my brother got a 6 Plus, and my mom had a little bit of iPhone envy, so we hooked her up with the new iPhone, and I got her all set up on it, and so we went to the mall, and then I only bought Christmas ornaments at the mall. I know, it's so weird. And then then I came home and I ordered stuff online.
Well, we went and got our tree yesterday, so we have this bare tree in the living room that I'm not going to decorate until much later.
Oh, mine will be decorated today, so you can you can come check it out on the Twitters. I'll tweet a picture out.
Oh, my gosh. So what do you do? I mean, it's not exactly Advent yet. You don't do the waiting thing until Christmas Eve?
No, because then my tree would only be up for like a week, and that's boring.
Oh, okay.
Because I take my no way. I take my tree down on January 1st, so which I know you're supposed to wait till the end, but whatever.
Well, that's better than my dad.
Oops. Don't tell me he kept it up till like Valentine's Day. Did he?
Steve's gone. He's got this perplexed look on his face. This is a total train wreck.
Sorry. I went on mute, and I don't know how.
It was kind of like me last week. Remember that? Yeah.
No, I have no memory of that, no.
No, we don't recall.
You're so old.
So what did your dad do?
Oh, I remember coming home from college at spring break one time. So this is March, and the tree was still up. He was just like, I just never got around to taking it down.
Oh, no.
Well, luckily, it wasn't a live tree.
He just never got around. Well, we left our Christmas lights up when we lived in Miami. We put up these Christmas lights, and our neighborhood was that competition neighborhood to see who could get the Christmas lights up immediately after Thanksgiving. And we won one year because we never took them down.
Yeah, so in my parents' neighborhood, as I was driving by a couple houses, there's this one house that has their outdoor Christmas decorations up, but they still have a ghost hanging from Halloween. So I don't
know. Oh, no.
So it's like, oh, what holiday is it? There's a ghost / your Christmas decorations. All right.
Wow, that's hilarious.
I always have to laugh. There's a house in this neighborhood that they have those big inflatable Christmas decorations in the front yard, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Well, they turn them off during the daylight hours, so there's just this lump of stuff in their front yard. And then when the sun goes down, it all comes back to life. So it's just kind of weird to drive by there and see all this. Yeah.
We used to have those. When our kids were small, one year we put it inside the foyer, and it was a small inflatable thing. And the kids used to like it. They'd run past it and bounce against it. They'd throw themselves in it, whoosh, and bounce off of it. And then we finally got a few more. They've all. It's stupid. I don't like those big inflatable things.
Yeah.
Whatever.
It seems kind of tacky to me. It's not very elegant.
So no, it's not. Well, let's,
there's a guy
wait,
here.
Wait, hold on. Oh, I'm going to cut you off because I'm going to have to try to smoothly move us into our first break.
Oh, okay.
And, and then
break
when we return,
time.
Break time. Ding, 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 ding. I'm going to have my cup of coffee ready to go. Anyway, we're going to move into a break, and then when we come back, we'll talk about Advent, right, guys?
Perfect.
All right.
Thank you, Maria, and I'm really enjoying the show, even though I'm not here. I'm flying somewhere. So thanks again for taking over the hosting duties. And you heard me mention at the beginning of the show that Brian Mozizek sponsored this show, episode number 249, and he wanted us to promote the website Project Blue November. And yeah, I know, it's November. Barely. You're probably listening to this right now, and it is no longer November, but that's okay, because awareness about type 1 diabetes it really has no specific time frame, does it? It's year-round, 24/7, 365. And if you want to learn more about type 1 diabetes, head over to projectbluenovember.com. And just to recap, if you didn't listen to last week's episode, the Project Blue November was formed by a group of D-moms from around the country, and they came together in cyberspace to figure out a way to raise awareness for type 1 diabetes, and Project Blue November was born. That was in late August. Project Blue November's purpose is to provide a curated collection of ideas and inspiration for people who want to raise awareness of type 1 diabetes. They say that each of them knew about some event or activity already in place to promote type 1, but that there was no single place for people to find out that information. But now we have it, projectbluenovember.com. And in the true spirit of mothers everywhere, this group of D-moms decided that they better just do it themselves. And now they're challenging us to join them. Again, a recap of the difference between type 1 and type 2 diabetes. Type 1 can occur at any age, but it is most commonly diagnosed from infancy to late 30s. If a person is diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, their pancreas produces little to no insulin, and the body's immune system destroys the insulin-producing cells in the pancreas. Those diagnosed with type 1 diabetes must inject insulin several times every day or continually infuse insulin through a pump, as well as manage their diet and exercise habits. Now, the other type, type 2, is, I think, a little bit less serious. It typically develops after age 40, but has recently begun to appear with more frequency in children. And that type of diabetes is controlled by weight control, diet control, exercise, self-monitoring of blood glucose, and in some cases, oral drugs or insulin. So there you have it. If you want to learn more about type 1 and type 2 diabetes, mostly type 1, head over to projectbluenovember.com. Thank you, Brian, for sponsoring this show.
All right, so we're back, and thanks for hanging around with us, I think, right?
Or something.
Or something.
I'm having a great time.
I'm having a delightful time.
I'm just drinking my cappuccino, looking at lovely
people. Yep. I got a text from Sarah. When's the show starting? I need to get to Starbucks. So.
And Ace Hardware. Please.
And Ace Hardware, that's right. For the
I felt very much in my 30s this morning having to go to a home improvement store.
Well, that's where you picked up your Christmas tree. And
No. I got my Christmas tree is fake.
Oh, and, is it?
Oh, yeah. My parents just bought me a beautiful new artificial tree, and I had to get Christmas tree ornament hangers because I bought a bunch of new ornaments yesterday. There's so Christopher Radko makes beautiful ornaments. Well, he just came out with this new line of ornaments that are called Shiny Brights, and you can.
Did we lose Sarah?
Yeah, I got kicked off audio. So you can get a whole box of them for less than $20, and they're beautiful ornaments. So I got a couple boxes of them so I could, because I have a 7-foot tall tree now, and I definitely don't have enough ornaments to cover it. So I needed to buy some filler ornaments.
Oh my gosh! Well, how do you feel about this? You want to decorate today? I decorate slowly throughout Advent.
Oh, I mean, I wanted to decorate last weekend.
Really?
Yeah. But my tree was supposed to get delivered to my apartment, and then it didn't. It's just kind of a mess. But so then I got it from my parents' house yesterday. It got delivered to their house. But I like to decorate as early as possible because it's a Southern thing. Like, I get it from my mom. My mom decorates right after Halloween. So, I mean, in classic Southern tradition, it's that you decorate the day after Thanksgiving, and then you take it down on January 1st. And I know that's not super Catholic, where the Catholic thing is that you're supposed to decorate on Christmas Eve and then leave it up until the Epiphany. But so I'm having this internal struggle of my Southern side versus my Catholic side.
Interesting struggle. Well, we've just always taken advantage of the holiday weekend and gone ever since the kids were little. I mean, when we moved up here, we've always gone to this one of those Christmas tree farms. And it's not quite like going out into the woods to cut down the tree, but it is a lot of fun to go and find the tree. And, you know, my kids are in their 20s, like in their mid-20s now. They're not even young 20s. And they're hilarious because they still have to feel the tree. So they run up and down the well, now we walk up and down, you know, the rows until we find a tree, and then we all need to hug the tree. And if we hug the tree and we feel the love, then that's the tree we get.
Okay, St. Francis of the trees.
So the conversation in the car is always the same. Now we went with two trucks, and the conversation is always the same. Me. I don't want a big tree. John, no, we have, what do you call the big ceiling? We have a big ceiling in the living room, so we can get a big tree. Okay, now the kids are all gone. They've all moved out of the house. Who takes down the tree? I want you to really think about that one. Who's responsible for taking down the tree?
You are, and I remember your Christmas tree story from last year.
When I hacked it down.
Yeah, when Maria used a chainsaw
in the house.
So I said, no, I want a 6-foot tree or smaller, a 4-foot tree. Well, that's not true. One year they all just looked at me and they said, okay, we'll get a Charlie Brown Christmas tree. And we did. We got a Charlie Brown Christmas tree. And it was, I think, the saddest Christmas ever. Oh. So I think we ended up with a 10-foot tree.
Oh, wow. That's huge.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. So I looked at the only one that's local would be my son. I looked at him and I said, you will remove the Christmas tree if you hug a big tree. So they hugged a big tree.
Well, I look forward to another Chainsaw in the House episode.
I don't put up a tree anymore. I don't know. I'd put up a nativity. And oh, I don't know. I've kind of gotten to this minimalist phase now, and so I don't decorate a lot. I put up a nativity and a string of lights around it, and that's about it.
Well, my kids come home so infrequently that I have them all together at the same time that I really wanted to decorate for Christmas / the whole season, really. And they were like, no, we need to go get the tree ourselves. And so now they decorated it, only the tree's bare. So they put it up, I guess. They cut it and trimmed it a little bit. But I would go with the minimalist approach.
Hmm. Well, because of traveling and my nephew's graduation from college and everything, we're actually going to celebrate Christmas on December 14th.
Okay, then.
Wow.
Well, because my family's spread out. We're all going to be there for the graduation. So, and then it just makes sense to do it that way. But so we'll have, like, my sister and I will celebrate Christmas again on Christmas.
That'll be fun.
I'm hoping to be able to get down to Miami and visit with my mom. This is, you guys know that my dad passed away this summer. So it was kind of rough to not be all together for Thanksgiving, but her birthday's today, so I hope they're having a party for her.
But, yay!
Whatever. That was kind of a downer.
Sorry.
Well, why don't we take a break and come back in in a couple of minutes and talk about what our Advent traditions are. Make it a little bit Catholic before we end this train wreck, all right?
Okay.
Okay, time for the bottom of the hour break. Thank you, Maria, Steve, and Sarah. Join the show. Okay, well, it is still the end of the year giving campaign here at SQPN, StarQuest Production Network, sqpn.com. And if you head over to our website, you'll see our podcast, Piggy. And right now we're up to about 32.9% of our goal this period. And we need $18,000. And right now we have received pledges for $5,910. So we have about 67% to go. So we're counting on you if you're listening to this right now and have never contributed to SQPN. We ask you to prayerfully consider giving us some of your hard-earned money. And remember, SQPN is a nonprofit, a tax-deductible nonprofit 501(c)(3) or C3 corporation. So all of your donations are tax deductible. Of course, you'll need to consult your individual tax attorneys and tax people to make sure you can take full advantage of that. So we started on November 1st, All Saints Day, and we are requesting the money to continue our worldwide apostolate to serve the mission of the Catholic Church in new media. Again, we're looking for only $18,000 of new money, and we're about 32.9% of the way there. So help us out, please. We really do appreciate it. And you can find out more about this on sqpn.com. Just look over there on the right side for the podcast Piggy. We want to turn our podcast Pinky completely pink. Also, we have a pain-free way of supporting the StarQuest Production Network. And if you do some online shopping, and this week is a great week to do that because Amazon.com, I believe all week, not only tomorrow, Cyber Monday, I'm recording this right now on Sunday. So Monday is Cyber Monday, but they've been doing things all week long, and who knows how long they'll be doing it. So you should take advantage of it by heading over to sqpn.com and then look for the amazon.com link and click on it, and then it'll take you to Amazon, and all of your shopping will help support the StarQuest Production Network. It's very painless. It doesn't cost you any more. We just get a little bit of the purchase, and Amazon just doesn't get as much as they would have normally. So we do thank Amazon.com for helping us in this partnership to support Catholic New Media. So again, head over to sqpn.com, click on the Amazon link, and then do your shopping. Also, if you're in the market for web hosting, we highly recommend Bluehost, bluehost.com. But before you go to that website, head over again to sqpn.com. Look on the right column there, and you'll see the banner for Bluehost. Easy, hassle-free web hosting for $4.95 per month. Unlimited space, transfer, and domains on one account. Click there to sign up. And we get a nice little fee from Bluehost for sending you their way. So if you're looking to start a new blog, a podcast, you want to sell something online, Bluehost is the place to go. Thank you very much for your help, for your support, for your prayers.
Here we go.
Blue and November. Project Blue November.
Blah, blah, blah. Play the saxophone. Hey, are you still playing in the local band, or did you have to give that up?
Who are you talking to? Me?
You. Didn't you?
Well, I still play in the Stillwater Community Band, but they only play in the month of June.
Oh.
And then, well, we are going to actually, next week or the week after, we're going to have a couple of rehearsals and do a Christmas concert. So answer is yes, I still play, but it's very sporadic.
Okay. Do you play an instrument, Sarah?
I took lessons for the flute in 4th and 5th grade, and then I took piano lessons in 11th and 12th grade.
Oh, okay.
So, not really. I mean, I guess I could play the recorder or the xylophone.
Oh, that's fun.
I did also learn how to play, the handbells at some point in school, maybe middle school or something. So if you give me that handbell, I can ring that handbell really well.
Oh, boy, that's pretty epic.
So yeah. Yep, that's about it.
Nice.
Well, and, or I could be that. Like Animal on the drums.
That's my favorite Muppet, him and Beaker.
On the way back from Dubai, I watched the latest Muppet movie, whatever the one is where Kermit goes to jail. Yeah, I watched that. And all I could think of was, wow, this is the same plot as Ernest Goes to Jail. Do you remember those movies? Yeah, exactly.
Wow. Well, I didn't even want to segue out from a break or into a break, because I think that Jeff's going to have to keep that conversation in the show.
That's fine.
I'm watching. The real measure of what a train wreck this is that I just jumped out of the shower before the show started, and my hair was wet, and I'm watching it dry and curl up on the air.
Most excellent. Well, so Advent, we wanted to talk about Advent traditions.
Yeah, so I started, I think when the kids were little, I started with the Advent wreath. And doing a little prayer that they would bring home from their CCD or PSR classes. But a couple of years ago, I bought a Radiant Dawn that Lisa Hendy put together. Mm-hmm. And gosh, we have really enjoyed that as a family, which is mostly just me and John. But, you know, whenever we have guests come over, we actually go through the longer versions of the opportunities to pray. You know, it's got a short prayer, and then it's got a scripture reflection and another piece that you can go through. So we do that every evening. And sometimes I buy the candles, and sometimes I just use white candles the whole season. But it's really, I don't know, I really enjoy it. What about you guys?
I put up a minimalist Advent wreath. It's basically four candles.
Yeah, that's...
there's actually no wreath involved, although I was thinking of buying a wreath to go with it. But you know, I do that as a reminder. But I have to admit that there's not really a whole lot else I do, except, you know, I really make it a point to read the readings for Sunday Mass before, so I can sort of reflect on that and kind of the whole as they progress through Advent. Mm-hmm. Really neat if you take them as a whole and see how it all progresses. It's interesting.
My Bible study last year, we had a make your own Advent wreath night. And so, because I'm in a Bible study, it's a bunch of young women. We meet every Tuesday night. And so we decided last year to make our own Advent wreath. So I never had one before. And now I have one. And so I'm going to get it out of storage today and put it out. And so, you know, I'll light the candles and just trying to be a little bit more intentional with Advent in the same way that we approach Lent. I think that we could be more intentional with Advent, because I think it's just as an important of a liturgical season. And so, you know, definitely doing what Steve said as far as reading the readings and, you know, make it to confession is always good to do during Advent, and just trying to think about some other things that we could do.
Yeah, sweet. I went to last Saturday, excuse me, I went to a candlelight dinner. An Advent candlelight dinner that the women's group at our church put together. And, okay, so first of all, I have to laugh a little bit about this. I had never gone before. I'd never really kind of hung out with these women before. And I ended up as a guest for one of the tables. And apparently you're supposed to decorate your own table. You bring your own food. They had a couple of guest speakers come in. And so my host for our table told me to bring some angel things, and I said, "Oh well, I have some angel candelabra that I could bring," and then I made some, I don't know, I made some meat pies or something to go with for my contribution. Oh my goodness, these old ladies! I want to be this kind of old lady. They were so intense about their decorations. Some people brought crystal for the wine, and I thought that I was sneaking wine into this event. Oh my goodness, they were all out. Women were so intense about the decorations, and our table was nice. I mean, it was nicely decorated, but there were some that were like, "What is there a contest?" I kept asking the hostess. I said, "Is there a contest for the best table or the most over the top table?" And she cracked up. She says, "Next year we'll do better." But one of the guest speakers talked about the O antiphons, and how to match whatever that particular antiphon is for the day with a meal that you could just very subtly include some meal suggestions. And it was so cool. It was really a good thing. So I think I'm going to. I don't have the paper. I'm speaking off the cuff, so I don't have a preparation to tell you what some of the suggestions were. But maybe when we move into that time, I'll bring out the paper and talk about some of the food suggestions to remind you of what the theme is. It's pretty cool. So I'm actually looking forward to that this season.
Cool. That really sounds neat.
Okay. So,
awkward pause.
No, I really like that idea. I was kind of thinking about really my only opportunity to interact with people right now is through work, you know, and mm-hmm. So there's a limit to how much you can do at work without, you know, being forcing your beliefs on other people.
Yeah.
But there ought to be something along that same vein where you could do a little something each week that's kind of symbolic of that. I don't know what that would be yet, but it's just an idea that popped into my head.
Well, I think that could be a fun game to play this week or this Advent. See how we can slowly integrate some things. That'll be neat.
Hey, kids. It's our last break, and it's been a fantastic show. I really wish I'd been there, but unfortunately, duty called, so... let's see. We've already talked about ways you can help support SQPN. We have our end of the year giving campaign. Again, head over to sqpn.com. Look for that podcast piggy and make your donation today, your tax deductible donation. Also, remember, before you click on amazon.com, click on the link on the sqpn.com page first. And that way your purchase will help support our effort in the new evangelization in Catholic New Media. And finally, if you're hankering to have one of those fancy WordPress websites or you want to start a podcast or whatever, if you need hosting, web hosting, Bluehost.com is a place to go. Again, head over to sqpn.com, click on the Bluehost banner. And finally, if you want to do as Brian Mozizek did, you can again go over to sqpn.com. Click on the donate button. There's a little drop down there, and you can click on sponsor a show. And there are several shows listed there. The Break with Father Roderick, The Walk, Catholic Weekend, the show you're listening to right now. Thank you very much. The Secrets of the Hobbit, The Secrets of Star Wars, and Geek Priest. And if you want to sponsor one of those shows, there's a way to do that right there. And you can get your message out, or if you want to... give it as a gift for somebody who you know listens to the show as well. That'd be a fantastic way to celebrate somebody's birthday, somebody's anniversary, or whatever. Again, if you have something you want to promote, like a book or a website, as Brian wanted us to promote Project Blue November, again, this is the way to do it. And it's a fantastic way to get your message out to those folks who listen to this fine programming. So, thank you for your support. And now, let's head back to the show.
All right. Well, shall we talk about picks of the week or something? I mean, I don't know.
Sure.
We're probably doing a reduced show this week anyway.
Yeah, picks of the week. Let's do it.
All right. Let's roll with that. The picks of the week. blah, 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 blah. Pat, 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 pat. Music, 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 music. Picks of the week. Do you guys have any? I surely don't.
I do.
No, please go.
So my pick of the week is, you guys are all going to be really shocked, but one of my favorite beers ever came out yesterday. It's called Goose Island Bourbon County Stout, and it is a nice, thick stout that they age in bourbon barrels for a long time, and it's amazing and delicious, and I know it's already sold out here in Atlanta, but some places in the Midwest or other parts of the country, people might not have been so eager for it, so maybe you could go out and find it. So if you listen to this today, November 29th, you could maybe find it or over the next couple of days, but it's awesome. It's also really good if you let it age. So they come in different flavors. This year they released a vanilla rye alongside with the classic one, a coffee, and they have a Bourbon County barley wine and something else. So any of them that you can find, snatch them up. They're delicious. Sit on them for a couple of years, and they get even better. So if you can go out and find one of those, highly recommend it. I missed the release here in Atlanta, but I had a friend who snagged me a bottle in another state, so we'll do a beer exchange, and I'll be happy camper.
Okay, so I have to ask you this question. So beers age like wine?
Uh-huh. Depends on the kind of beer. Lagers, no. IPAs, not really. But dark beers, stouts, and porters, and Belgian style ales, all of these you can age. It just depends on the yeast that's used in them. Also, you know what the intent of the beer was. If it's dry hopped or fresh hopped, you need to drink it quicker. But some types of beers are really good to age. Sour beers are great aged. I mean, I have a couple of beers in my closet that are at this point 4 years old, and I'm gonna wait until they're about 5 or 6 to open them.
So what was that beer that I had the other day that was Heavenly something?
Wild Heaven?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe that's it.
Yeah, that one's good. That would be okay. You could age that one for a year or two, and it would be lovely. So it would just kind of mellow out, and the flavors would change.
Hmm, that's curious. Well, I remember we were out one time, and you had a new beer and an old beer that you were tasting.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, so I got the same beer, one that was like 4 years old and one that was new, and let you taste the difference in them.
Yeah, it does mellow a little bit. I never thought about beer as something like that.
Yes, you can do that. It just depends on the style of beer, but yeah, you can totally age it.
Pretty cool. Well, Steve, do you have anything?
Well, mine's a little bit of a sad pick today. I heard today that one of the priests of our diocese passed away. Father Bill Skeen. He was my mother's age. In fact, they were classmates together at the University of Tulsa. And he started the Newman Club at the University of Tulsa, which is what I ended up working for all these many years later. But what was interesting about him is 1968. So think of what the church was going through in 1968. He was given the job, or he was tasked by the bishop of that time to form an experimental parish where their mission was not to have a very elegant parish, church, but to concentrate the mission of the parish on serving the community. So they became very involved in what would become Catholic Charities here in Tulsa. So very much focused on serving the poor and housing and the issues, the racial issues of the time. That was their mission, was to focus on that and not to have an elegant church. It was supposed to be as simple as they could make it. It had plastic chairs and things like that in it. So it was an interesting experiment of the time, and we actually attended that parish for a while because of the relationship, being friends between my mother and the priest. So it was interesting time, if you can think back to what 68 through 75 would have been like in the church. So anyway, so that's kind of his claim to fame here in the diocese, is that he was charged with that. And that parish still exists, and they still have that kind of mission, although they've moved in more traditional direction since then.
Yeah.
Anyway,
that's cool.
So my pick of the week is, prayers for the repose of the soul of Father William Skeen here in Tulsa.
Oh, that's a good one. That's an interesting idea. This keeping it so simple. Mm-hmm. We're in the middle of a transition now in our parish to move away from the very stoic, very plain church into something that's a little bit more traditional, I'm going to go ahead and say more reverent. It's just tapping into visually some traditional beauty in there. And mm-hmm. I don't know. I think maybe it's just my own, evolvement in the faith or something like that, but I don't think I'd want to worship in a place that had plastic.
Well, I got to tell you, it's affected the way I look at things because,
really?
When we first moved to Tulsa from West Texas, we went to that parish, and at that time, they didn't even have a building. They met in the cafeteria of the local high school. Mm-hmm. And so, that was, different, in the fact that it was very much, it was all folk music and guitars and clay vessels and, very, very few trappings of anything. And so I think it's changed the way I look at the Mass and the fact that I love the reverence of the Mass. Mm-hmm. And I love the traditional churches that have all of the beauty and everything in it. But I think I also see some of the benefit of a working parish that doesn't mm-hmm. have all those kind of things, and they cater to a community that needs to be serviced by the church. So I think I'm in the middle in some, or either that, or I can see both ends of the spectrum, mm-hmm. maybe a little differently than others that didn't grow up that way.
Wow. I mean, I love this topic enough to maybe dedicate a show to it. I really,
that'd be interesting.
Yeah, that's a really, really neat thing to do. Thanks for sharing that. My pick of the week is I'm going to reveal a Christmas item because I know my kids don't watch the show, but my pick of the week is Around the Table with Catholic Foodie, Jeff Young's new book, and one of my daughters is really, really into cooking, and I really saw it this week with prepping for the Thanksgiving meal, and so actually I'm getting both my daughters, they're not in the house at the moment, some cookbooks, and that's the one I got for Christy because it's going to be pretty cool to watch her make some of those meals. So when she starts cooking, Sarah, you need to join.
I'll bring
us
the beer. Beer. I know, I'm so excited. Mine is coming on, I think it's coming on Tuesday. I just got the Amazon notification that it's on the way, and I am so excited to get Jeff's book. I'm ready for it, and I'm super pumped. So get a hard copy. I might actually buy it on Kindle also, so I might buy it in both forms.
So that you can cook. Well, I might get myself the Kindle one, but I know that Christy's going to enjoy to be able to hold the book and sure. and cook with it. That's going to be fun.
Yeah, I mean, since my first ever beer recipe, like published beer recipes in it, I wanted to buy the hard copy because I'm just really excited about that. But I also think I'll probably buy the Kindle version because it's nice to have the digital as well. So, because mm-hmm. I do use my iPad in the kitchen, which I know that's crazy, but I do. I put all my recipes on there and I cook off my iPad. And, actually just got yesterday a digital scale that mm-hmm. Links up to the iPad and you can build recipes in this whole app. And, you weigh on the scale and it tells you exactly how much via the app, the iPad. And I haven't used it yet. My parents bought it for me as an early Christmas present yesterday. So I'm excited to use it.
That's cool.
Very cool.
I'll report back next week. How about that?
Well, she was cooking off her phone. Yeah. So I'm like, can you see that? Can you open that? And no, I got it right here. So that's nutty. Oh my goodness. Hey, did you off of craziness? Did you happen to see the Sisterhood this week?
Oh, I caught a little bit of it.
The Lifetime reality show for five young women that are discerning the
I know. Did you watch it?
I'm gonna. Yes, I did. I did. I watched it twice because I just couldn't get over the girl with the nails.
I was a little shocked by it, actually.
Oh, were you? Like, why don't we watch another episode and talk about it?
Okay.
That'll be fun.
Jinx.
Jinx. That's end the show. Sarah, how can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Catholic Drinky. That right now, that's basically all I have time for. Or Instagram. I love me some Instagram. So just come say hi. You know, I'll follow you back. I'm in a Christmas mood. So
you'll follow people back.
Sure, why not?
Can we have a conversation about being antisocial on social media?
Basically. Anyways, the end.
The end. Steve, where can we find you?
Everything is Davon.com.
Wow, that was even briefer than yours, Sarah.
we're a fun bunch today.
You know where else you can find me? Apparently, I spend a lot of time on Words with Friends.
Oh, did you hear what happened to me? I started a dozen games with Pat by mistake.
Oh, well, okay.
And she replied back to about half a dozen of them before she started declining. So I had like six games going with somebody at the same time. Yes, well, I do like Words with Friends. And you can find me, happy people, at Bego, BEGO, on the Twitters. And I don't know, can you even find me on Facebook? I do get on Facebook. I creep onto the people's pictures, but I don't really pay attention to invitations anymore or anything. Not much there. And I have a blog, Another Cup of Coffee, which is begojohnson.com. And really all I've been doing there is I've posted a little bit of poetry, but mostly I've just been taking pictures. And I posted the Thanksgiving episode, the turkey episode from the CRP in Cincinnati.
As God is my witness, turkeys could fly.
That was my Thanksgiving gift for the week. And, you know what, Steve? You should go and see the Bufanda video that I put on there.
It's a cartoon.
It's a cartoon of to learn how to speak Spanish. Oh. It'll make you crazy. And that's about it. So, wow, thanks for hanging around as long as you did for this week's train wreck. And hopefully next week we'll have the captain back in the the captain's chair.
Can I close with one thing which we probably should have talked about?
Yeah.
And that's just, you know, say prayers for all of the situation going on around Ferguson, Missouri.
Absolutely.
And all of that. You know, I don't even know what to say about all that, except that it just pains me that there's so much violence associated, you know, with all that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, sorry that's a downer, but, you know, we should talk about that maybe on the next show.
Yeah, prayer prayer is so necessary in our world for everything. So.
Yeah, and also prayers for the Pope, who's in Turkey.
Oh, we ate turkey, the Pope's in Turkey, so many things.
Yeah.
So many things.
Thanks for listening, y'all. Have a great week. God bless.
SQPN, leading the way in Catholic new media.
Amen.
Amen.
I just bought the book on Kindle. I really just want to see
really it. Just buy a book on Kindle?
It was killing me. I didn't realize it was available on Kindle, and I was like, oh, I really want to see what my... Because I never got to see a proof of what my stuff looked like, so I was like, I really want to see this. I know, that's so self-indulgent. I'm really sorry.
Listen, we have to get together, because I'm not going to be able to get Jeff to sign it yet, but I will haul it with me to wherever I see him.
Yes, I really want Jeff to sign the book.
But would you sign the beer recipe page?
I'll sign. There's a good spot where I can sign my page. So
awesome. So
I gotta start working on my signature because I have really bad handwriting. And I have a feeling I've been signing some books, so I've been starting.